Hello, guys. Welcome to Man Strong Podcast. This is your host, Clint Locklear, where we believe thinking like a man, being like a man, and trying to get other people to be a little bit manly is not a bad thing, and I don't care what the feminists say. It's just men have a role, they have an important role, and it's a function of life that seems to be getting out of whack. But if things go really south with the COVID-19, you'll see how important men are again, and women will realize how important they are. So, not ashamed to be a man, and hopefully you're not either. And if you're a woman raising a boy, you need to raise him as a man the best you can, and let the dad, if he's still there, do his job. Okay. I didn't have a show last week, and I greatly apologize. It was, I can't say it was some type of tragedy or anything like that. It was, I ordered a Rogue Monster Rack, which is a squat rack, and has all these different things on there that I can do, powerlifting and pin presses and all this type of stuff. And I also ordered a piece of equipment called a Rhino Belt Squat. And this was about 4 weeks ago. Well, I had one little box show up Thursday. And it was part of the rack as far as an accessory piece. So I go into Rogue and I look up the tracking on the package. And lo and behold, it's been sitting in Knoxville at the UPS freight part for about 2 weeks. So I finally get the number, because UPS makes numbers extremely hard to find. I get numbers and I call them up, and they're getting ready to put it in storage today. This was last Thursday. And I said, is it something I can pick up in a pickup truck? My trailer that I take to my trapping conventions would not work, because I had a feeling that the legs of the rack, every time I tried to turn the trailer, it would probably tear my trailer apart. I didn't have a flat trailer, because that's at my old place in Dunlap. So I was like, can we put this on a truck? And they said, we don't think so. It's like 900 pounds altogether. It's on these two great big pallets. You can't put one on top of the other. So Travis was with me, my helper. So we grab the truck and we drive an hour and a half to the UPS place. And they show us these pallets. So I thought, and I got a quick picture on Instagram, I thought that we could get it all in the truck at one time. So we had them load the belt squat, and I was worried how we were going to get that thing out of there, because it's heavy. And then the rack in there, and we came back. So using a Rogue rack, it's really simple. There was four great big old bolts. They even supply these big one-inch tools that you can tighten that thing up with. So the power rack was pretty simple. And then we started on the belt squat. I thought the belt squat would be more put together, the way the pallet looked, but it was in, pieces upon pieces upon pieces. And when we got back, me and Travis started going through the instructions. And, you know, guys aren't very good at taking instructions, but we tried our best. And it was about 5 hours later we got this belt squat put together, and it was about 9:30 at night. And that's when I came back in. My wife did, you do the podcast? And I was like, no, I didn't. And so instead of doing the podcast, which I felt like I should have done, I was actually putting all this gym equipment, which I'm glad I did now, because of I don't have to go to the gym and be on all this other equipment where other people may or may not have COVID-19, and we're all, you know, breathing hard and rubbing around sweaty and stuff. So I'm glad I got that in. But that is the reason. I'm just telling you straight up what it is. Now, I could tell you that I was digging my bunker lined with toilet paper with all my extra food and water and hand sanitizer, getting ready for the apocalypse, but that wasn't true. I was putting together a belt squat from Rogue. What I want to talk about is the feminine responses we're getting from our politicians today, and then I want to talk about the conjugate system, which is training. So it's going to be two things, but before we do, I want to thank our sponsor, which is Funky Trap Tags and Supplies. He has a full line of trapping. If you're into deer hunting, he's got scents and stuff for you. If you're into fishing, now he's got catfish baits and crappie bait and hooks and lines and all that. Plus, he's got a tremendous line of predator calls that are great prices. There's all kind of stuff. So if you go to Funky Trap Tags and Supplies and you're an outdoorsman, you're probably going to find some goodies that you really wish you had. And if you're one of the more freaked out people right now, this is probably a time to get some stuff if you need it. And if you're thinking that you're not going to be able to get food from the grocery store, you might need to be able to get it yourself. This is where Outdoor Supplies is going to come in real handy if you think it's going to get that far. I don't know. I'm already prepared for that just because of my daily life anyway. But, check him out. Get your stuff. He's going to get it to you. They're working hard. They're keeping up with shipments. Great company. Great prices. Great service. Funky Trap Tags and Supplies. Now, when we look at this COVID-19 thing, of course, now you can't use the word China because, or the Chinese virus, because that somehow is racist towards China, where it came from, where all these other diseases seem to come from. You can't say that because it's politically incorrect. So COVID-19 or coronavirus, whatever you want to call it, why are we acting the way that we are with this virus? We talked about this a little bit last week. One of it is none of us alive, as far as I know, has ever actually lived through something that could be a very deadly pandemic. So we don't know what it is. And since we don't know what it is, our imagination goes to the worst. And it can get pretty scary and freaky out. I will admit, when I'm around people and they sneeze or they cough, or I'm just around people I don't know, I mean, I almost feel like they just got this virus crawling on them and they're like little bitty pit bulls trying to jump off and get on everybody else. It does play with your mind a little bit. Why is the government acting the way that it is? Well, first off, I think it's pretty clear our government today, for the most part, acts in a very feminine manner. Motherly, have to take care of, have to protect, have to do all that type stuff. They're acting feminine, which is great for a mother. It's just bad for a government. Their responses, because of the feminine thing, don't seem to make sense unless you add in another piece of the puzzle. And what I'm hearing, because I'm not really watching much of the news, but I've got friends that do, and they're texting all the time, sending me this and that and the other, and I may watch the news maybe 10 minutes because I figured I have everything that I need right there, you know, besides just heaps of propaganda one way or the other. And the response of the government, because it's in feminine in nature, and when you have this second piece of the puzzle, which is the bully cyber mobs, with all the virtue signaling that seems to be the new sport of our country, with everybody trying to politicize this for the presidential campaign, but I think mostly it's politicians are afraid of the cyber mobs. They're afraid they're not going to do enough. They're not going to seem empathetic enough. They're not going to make the right decision. And then everybody on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram heaps coals from hell upon them until they get destroyed. So you have a feminine government that's worried about a cyber mob, and they're the ones making the decision. Some examples of this that I think it makes it pretty clear is when you look at what the Democrats and the Republicans are doing, they're trying to outspend each other in what they're going to give away. They're in a race to spend grandchildren's livelihoods of their taxes, to not be the ones that are not doing enough. And if they can give away enough stuff and start enough programs and spend trillions of dollars, maybe they will be overlooked with the wrath of the mob. So that's why the Democrats and Republicans are it's up to $1 trillion. $1 trillion. See, I have a hard time comprehending $1 trillion. I can comprehend 1 million because I understand what 1,000 is. And then it goes to billion. Well, that starts getting really squirrely there when you start thinking about billions in reality. Because what is that, 100 million? And $1 trillion is 100 billion. If I understand how that works, because that's not my finances to be worrying about millions, billions, and trillions. There is no way you can convince me that the infrastructure is in place with anything to do with COVID-19 or a cure or a vaccine or anything like that, that they can spend $1 trillion and do it in a way that is prudent and spend it where it's not being wasted. Oh, they will spend the money. They will spend your grandkids' and great-grandkids' future for right now. But will it be for anything of true value? I can't tell what it is. I mean, they're pumping out kits as fast as private companies can do, because if it was a government facility, they would still be in meetings over whether they should do it or not. Trust me, this is the last place in history you want to have a government healthcare. That's the reason when you go over to Italy, if you're over a certain age and you have COVID-19, they just kind of shove you over in a closet somewhere and let you die because they're not willing to spend resources, because they have to choose between limited resources because it is all government produced and government sucks at production. So private companies are the ones that's going to come up with a vaccine. Private companies are the one that's making the medical supplies. Private companies are doing everything, but the politicians are spending all this money, I think, because they're basically feminine and they're basically scared of the mob. And in an example of this, they're letting prisoners go out of prison in 3 different states because of the coronavirus. Now, those people are packed in there pretty tightly, but can you explain to me a better quarantine system than a prison? Keep them in their cells. How's that going to transfer? The guards can wear the mask and the glove, and they can alcohol down when they leave. They're wanting San Francisco right now is trying to get the whole city of San Francisco to be quarantined. But it's not a good idea in prison. See, that doesn't make sense. And the reason I know that it doesn't make sense is because when you can go, just go Google New York releasing prisoners and read about 15 of those articles. They pretty much all say the same thing. But you're going to notice a reoccurring statement in a lot of those articles. They're letting to go older prisoners because older people have a lot more, they have a lot bigger reason to fear COVID-19 because it seems to really hurt and mess with older people and kill. But when you look at these articles, they make sure to let everybody know that Weinstein, which was hammered by the hashtag MeToo movement, for sexual crimes, is not going to be released. Now, they will release other people that's done other things just as bad or worse, but they don't want to have the mob of hashtag MeToo not get their pound of flesh out of Weinstein? Why would they put in that they're not releasing Weinstein, but they're releasing other prisoners? It's because of the mob. This is where this became pretty clear to me. So you have all of this over, what I think is overreaction, like letting the prisoners go. Social distancing, that just makes sense, guys. That absolutely makes sense. We're used to that because if the flu gets really bad in a school system, they shut it down for a couple weeks and it pretty much runs its course and they get the kids back in school. We've seen that before. It works. I'm being very cautious about social distancing. Where I moved, everyone around here calls me and my wife the kids. We're 50 and 51. The average age here is probably 68. This community is unlike anything I've ever seen, except in maybe Leave It to Beaver. Everybody helps each other. Everybody shares food. Everybody goes out to eat together. Everybody stops and talks. It's very strange in the modern America. But the average age is probably 68, 69. Except for me and Cindy, we're the kids. So I'm being overly cautious because I don't want to be the one that initiates a lot of problems for the older neighbors that I have here. To me, that's the right manly way to look at this. Travis is not coming in. There's some issues we got with getting products in. I also don't want a young guy that I don't know where he's at around the neighbors that are that old. It can be extremely deadly to these neighbors of mine. So I'm being cautious about that. That's not overreacting. That's just being prudent. But letting prisoners go, but making sure everybody know in the cyber mob that Weinstein's going to stay in is a signal of why they're doing what they're doing. They're already quarantined. So you're going to take, they're saying that they have some of them with the coronavirus, which means others probably have the coronavirus, which means they're going to turn loose these people to go into society as carriers to you, your wife, and your kids, and your grandparents. But it sounds good. See, that has a lot to do with the feminine idea of government. It sounds good. But does it do good? Hell no, it doesn't do good. It didn't even meet any common sense test. See, men do the right thing no matter if they're under pressure or not. That's why I know that the government is feminine. That's why they make these decisions to turn loose prisoners. In three different states, mind you. All liberal, of course, but in three different states. This will catch on because other people will start putting pressure on other politicians to let those prisoners go because it's just not nice to have them in there with the COVID-19 thing going on. Makes no sense. But men do the right thing no matter if they're under pressure or not. Boys do what our politicians are doing because they're weak and spineless and they're not real men. See, men understand personal responsibility. The feminine wants to protect and mother, like I said, which is an awesome, needed thing for a family. But it is not good for a government. Because protection and mothering of citizens from a government means you must take more away from the producers and give to the non-producers. There's a fairness issue there. It also means you're going to take away rights to make everybody safe. Real men would see what it is and put a stop to it. Being in prison is a personal responsibility you have to deal with. Turning loose prisoners to go into society as carriers is not personal responsibility. It's pretty clear that these over the top, and I'm not talking about social distancing, I think it's a smart play for Americans to stay home. It's going to hurt our, it already has hurt our economy. If you've got a 401k, trust me, you know it. Your pensions, if you're in the unions, you probably lost 30% of all your retirement in the last few weeks. Why? Because when people aren't buying, there's no money in businesses, which makes the stocks worth less. See, this is a time if your kids and wife is scared, this is when you, as a man, need to be able to have the courage to make the right decisions, not make the decisions that make people happy. It's called leadership. It's something they teach in college, which I find hilarious, that professors are teaching leadership. Leadership is what you're supposed to do as the man of the home. That doesn't mean you're a tyrant or a bully. But you're kind of like the rock. You're kind of the one that when everything starts getting hyper, you bring it down several notches. You let them know it's going to be okay. You tell them what the plans are going to be. You're going to tell them what preparations you've made. You're going to tell them what's going to happen if it gets worse. We can get through this. You stop the fiction writing that's going on to their head where the zombies are going to eat their face off. See, this is a time that men need to remember that it's their job to do this, and it's a time for men. Adversity is where men thrive. If they're men, not boys, not politicians that are feminine, but men. Now, I want to switch subjects here, and I want to talk a little bit. I've been reading a book by Louis Simmons, which I've talked about before, and I've listened to his podcast, and I've recommended that y'all listen to him. But when you listen to Louis Simmons' podcast, it's confusing. It's kind of like listening to Albert Einstein talk about string theory or something crazy like that we don't know that much about. And he's been doing it for 20 years, and he assumes that everybody else knows what he's talking about because he uses vernacular that his gym uses but the rest of the world doesn't use. And he seems to have, the squirrel type episode. So he goes from one subject to the next and back to the one in front of the one he just did, and it can be extremely confusing. And I've listened to his podcast several times because I'm very interested in what they do for the simple reason their gym is one of the strongest in the world, and it's the freest from injury in the world. And as I get older, and as you get older, I think training becomes more important than it did when you're just trying to get, to catch a girl's eye. It becomes something that, I look at it like the poem, Rage Against the Dying Light. I'm going to rage as long as I can, and I've got to be able to physically do that, or I can just whimper. So I've been looking, at the conscious system. Well, I ordered a book called The Methods of Training from Westside Barbell. And when I can read this, and not as in a sporadic form, I can see what the conjugate system is. It's actually pretty genius. It's very scientific. And it's not exercising. It's not trying to be the biggest muscle dude that you can. It's to have general preparedness, which is just general strength, general mobility, general speed, general explosiveness, to do anything. It doesn't matter what it is, because in life, me and you are not trying to get on a powerlifting platform or go to the CrossFit games or being a professional bodybuilder. So general fitness is one of the bases of the conjugate system. You make everything stronger. You make everything more explosive. And you work on muscle hypertrophy, which is making them bigger. But you also work on soft tissue just as much as you work on getting stronger and bigger, which is very different from bodybuilding. See, bodybuilders get injured a lot because they have these great big muscles, but they actually have weak tendons and ligaments because of the way that they train. Bodybuilders that use a conjugate system, which I'm going to explain a little bit more in a minute, they actually have big muscles. They're really strong muscles, and they have really strong tendons and ligaments, which means they don't have the knee injuries and the back injuries and the hip injuries until they get years and years and years down the road and they've been benching 700 pounds and squatting 1,100 pounds and pulling 900 pounds off the floor in a deadlift. That type of training is going to cause severe wear and tear because it's on the outer limit of human capacity. That's not what I'm referring to someone that's trying to get stronger as they get older. But the conjugate system, when you break it down in a simple form, is you work on general strength, you work on explosive strength, speed, and you work on just pure strength. And you do this in a way where you're working on your soft tissue, your ligaments, and your tendons because a lot of times that's the problem. That's why people get injured. As you're, trying to get a bigger bench and a bigger squat and a bigger deadlift. But I couldn't understand this from the podcast because Louis Simmons is talking at a level with something he's so familiar with that he has a hard time communicating with people that don't understand what it is. Because I've looked at all kinds of stuff. You know, I've looked at bodybuilding programs. I've played around with that. I played around with power building, which is a more of a strength-based bodybuilding type thing. I've looked at powerlifting. I've looked at all these, but there was always stuff that just doesn't seem like it's the whole package. And the way Westside Barbell does their conjugate system, it seems like it's the whole package. So it breaks down into 4 big workouts a week and mini workouts. And the mini workouts, guys, there's no reason to go to a gym to do the mini workouts. A couple of bands, a couple of dumbbells, some, you know, stuff like that. You're good to go on the small stuff because you're not trying to kill yourself on these little bitty workouts. So you have 4 big workouts a week. You have 2 days a week, which they do it Sunday and Wednesday. You do speed work on Sunday, which you can switch these days up, for bench, for pushing. And it's a bench workout, but it only lasts about 15 minutes. And then the benching's over with. And you're doing very explosive things, like you'll come down on a power rack and you put the, like 45, 50, 55% of your one rep max. And you try to push it up as fast as you can of that percentage. For me, I'm benching 315. So yesterday I did explosive work with 140, which is pretty light. But when you start trying to push it as hard and as fast as you would 315, you can tell there's something going on in your muscles. And then Wednesday, you do max effort. Now see, here's the genius of the conjugate system. When you do the same thing over and over again, not only do you get weaker, but you have a tendency to get injured. So just on the bench, because most people, anybody that's going to start lifting weights, that's one of the things they do is bench. So when you're doing this explosive work, it's weeks before you do the same thing again. Like yesterday, I did off the pins with 140 at my chest. Next week, I may add 140 with bands. Then I will do one, but every week over this, let me go back up to make this where it makes sense. When you're doing speed work, you do it in what's called a pendulum wave. 45, 50, and 50%. So I did 40%, 45% yesterday on what I was doing. Next week, I'm going to do 50, then 55. And then I'm going to totally change exercises. So for 3 weeks, I'm going to do what I did yesterday, which is 9 sets of 3 reps, very explosive. That's it. And then I do supplemental exercises that make the bench stronger. And one of the main ones is triceps. If you got strong triceps, you don't tear your pecs. If you're benching correctly, you're not going to have shoulder issues. Then you work on your upper back. Then you work on your rear and side delts. And then you may do some hammer curls to finish it all for some grip training or something like that. Well, that takes about an hour to do all of that. And you actually do the extra exercises, which is not the bench, fairly quickly, fairly heavily, and you almost go to failure when you're doing them. So that's more like a bodybuilding or a power bodybuilding thing. And then when you go to max effort day, like this week, I'm going to be doing, for bench now, keep this in mind, I'm going to actually be doing a Rogue Log overhead press for bench. I'm going to start, get warmed up. I'm going to go until I can't do any more weight. And then I stop. And then I do special exercises, triceps, back, shoulders, some biceps, grip work, something like that for about an hour. Now, the week after that, for max effort, I may do a bench press. The week after that, I may do a bench press with 225 on the bar and keep adding bands till I can't do another rep. Then I may do, then a week after that, I may do max out, max effort on an incline press and then a decline press. I may try to add chains. I may try to add a different, you know, not so extreme of an incline, but a lower incline. Narrow grip, you know, bench presses. But see, over everything I just said, you spread what you're doing to your body over months before you come back and do a regular bench press, because every one of those things builds a bench press. The bench press doesn't build a bench press. The special exercises build a bench press. Or you could just keep adding weight on a bench press forever and you can't. But it does not let my body get used to doing the same thing over and over and over again. Like when I do triceps on the speed day, I do a lot of JM presses. I do a lot of pin close grip presses just for triceps, and I go pretty heavy, just 5 or 6, which for me heavy's probably about 245. And I'll just burn my triceps out. Then I'll go do back. I do, you know, pull downs and pull ups and bent over rows and stuff like that. Then I'll do some side lateral raises for my shoulders and some bands or some dumbbell reverse laterals when I'm bending over for my rear delts, and I'm done. But when I do it on Wednesday, I won't do the same exercises that I did on Monday for the triceps. And it may be 2 or 3 weeks before I go back and do pin presses for my triceps. See, that's very different than what people do. And I have to admit, I was doing the same thing. When I was going to the gym in Dunlap, I would start on bench press, I would do declines, I do some cable crossovers, and I may do some dumbbell presses. What this does, it allows you to work out in a dynamic way for speed and strength in the same week. Very differently what I've been doing, where you go in and annihilate your chest, and it probably takes 6 or 7 days for it to recover. See, I'm not doing that now. Conjugate system's not designed on that. It's where you're always changing the exercise. And if you're not into weightlifting very much, but you're getting into it, I highly recommend the book, The Book of Methods from Westside Barbell, Louis Simmons, because it explains everything. And when you see this over and over again, your brain starts going, aha! And then you'll have squat and deadlift on the same day, but you're not doing crazy reps like I used to be doing. And a lot of times you're not even doing deadlifts. You're doing good mornings and replace of deadlifts. You're doing rack pulls and replace of deadlifts. You're doing sumo. You're doing, which is your legs wide. Then you do regular. You can do what they call, for time, as many deadlifts as you can do in a certain amount of time with a certain amount of weight, and you're trying to always break PRs, you know, personal records. And you're just constantly changing what you're doing. So you don't have the stress on your body and the stress on individual tendons as you do if you do the same thing over and over and over and over again. That's why so many people have tendonitis in their elbows and their knees and everything like that. This sounds really complicated, but it's really not. Once you get a grasp on this, you're like, that's freaking genius. Now, these mini workouts that you do, because when you use a system like the conjugate system and you're not doing an annihilation system like a bodybuilding system, you can work a small muscle every 24 hours if you want to. You can work the big muscles like bench, squat, and deadlift every 72 hours. That's how he's getting two benches without killing yourself into 1 week. Because one's building explosiveness, which is a totally different muscle fiber, and one's building pure raw strength. And you're doing these other exercises, which are actually more important than the main lifts. But then you have these mini workouts, and this is where a lot of the soft tissue stuff comes in. This is the reason his guys have bigger ligaments and tendons than a lot of other bodybuilders do. So like you're working on your bench press. Well, you can get a small band that doesn't have very much resistance and do like 40 rep sets of an arm extension. Then do the other arm, then go back to the other arm, then go back to the other arm, till you get a couple of hundred reps in, but really no weight. You'll get a pump, but you're not really using a lot of muscle. You're forcing blood into the tendons and ligaments where they don't get that type of nutrients in there when you're using heavier weight. So you're building your soft tissue, which as you get older is very important. So when you step funny, you don't blow out your knee, or you twist and you don't blow out your back, or you don't tear a bicep. My dad tore his bicep picking up groceries, I think he told me. His bicep is tore. And they didn't fix it because, one, he didn't really use it. Because he didn't have the ligaments strength and tendon strength to be able to pick up a bag of groceries. It's either that or it was horse feed. But it wasn't much. It was like 40 pounds, whatever it was. So these small workouts, you work on grip strength, you work on your forearms, you may do some neck training, you may do some high rep trap work, you know, doing shrugs and different things like that. Maybe if your rear delts are really weak, which if you've not been doing them for a while, I guarantee you they are, you may do a couple extra sets on that. But you're not trying to annihilate anything. You're using a different principle, which is consistently getting better over time. So when I was doing bodybuilding type stuff, when I started lifting weights, because that's all I knew from magazines and stuff like that, I'd do, you know, 10 different back exercises in a workout. Now I'm doing 2. But I'm doing it again in 72 hours. And for back, I'm probably going to do a back exercise 5 days a week, because I think back is the most important thing and is probably the weakest thing that I have. If I want to work on grip strength, I throw that in on these little workouts. So the little workouts can be the day of the big workout, or it can be the day after. I'm kind of just doing the day after because I'm stuck at home. I'm practicing social distancing right now. When I get done with this, I'm going to go out. I'm going to do some forearm work. I'm going to do some neck work. I'm going to do band leg curls so I can build up the ligaments in my knee, which is a light band, and you just put it on something, sit down in a chair, and you just pull your leg from straight out to a 90 degrees straight down. You're not trying to build muscle, and I'm probably going to do 300 reps per leg, lightweight, get a lot of blood in there for the soft tissue. I'm also going to do it for my triceps. And I'm going to do about 300 reps on a band that's hardly any weight, it's probably only about 20 pounds. And then I'm going to get all that nutrients in there. And then I may do some actual physical, some curls, some bicep work, neck work, some abs, which is I'm using the cable that I've got from Spuds, which is freaking amazing, to do some curls with weight for standing up. And that's pretty much the workout. I'm not even going to probably work up a sweat doing this. But it's extra volume. It's extra work capacity. And it builds the things that need to build for the stronger lifts and general preparedness. Like I said, this can sound extremely confusing because it's not like, people like, this is simple, but in a chaotic form where it seems simpler to go in a gym and someone tells you to do four sets of 10 reps. Four sets of 10 reps on the bench, four sets of 10 reps on the pec deck, four sets of 10 reps on cable extensions. It's easier to wrap your head around that. But what all studies have shown, and if you're trying to get stronger as you get older, 3 weeks is the most you can do with a heavy weight. Say you're trying to get your bench up, or your squat or your deadlift up. After 3 weeks of doing the same movement with the same bar and the same movement pattern, you actually get weaker at that movement. But if you were to switch, say, on a deadlift where you do regular deadlift 1 week, sumo deadlift the next week, good mornings, which you can look that up online if you don't know what that is, the next week, you can do pull-throughs, which is basically just a cable thing where you bend over and you actually use your hips to pull this cable with your arms through your legs. You're bent over, kind of like you're going to be standing up and bend over. You're going to fart. Someone's going to light it on fire, kind of that pose. But you pull the cable through. See, that's a month without even getting creative before you come back and do a regular deadlift. But if you do the regular deadlift over and over and over, you actually, because of the law of accommodation, doing the same thing over and over again, you actually lose coordination and you actually lose strength. So if you're in that time of your life where you're wanting to get, jacked and tanned for the girls, I would look at this. If you're, because there's plenty of hypertrophy, trust me, you're going to grow plenty of muscle, but you're also going to be strong and you're going to be safer because of your ligaments and tendons. And if you're older, trust me, you're looking for a way to get stronger and not get hurt. If you go into a gym and do a 5x5 or an 8x8 or 10x10 or something like that, do the same thing over again, you're going to start having issues with your joints. You need to do the soft tissue work. It's just as important as being able to move weight. It keeps you from getting hurt. And you don't want to be you want to be functional. See, when you look at a great big bodybuilder, they all laugh about it because they can barely wipe their own butt on the toilet. They physically can't get their arm back there. See, that's not functional. That's really not functional. I guess they use the bays or something. I don't know how they get around that. See, that's just not functional. But you want to be able to wipe your own butt. You want to be able to get off the toilet and out of a chair. And you want to be able to go to the woods if that's your thing and have fun. Or you want to go play frisbee golf or do something. You want to be functional. And the conjugate system seems the most functional that I've seen. But you'll need to read up on that to make sure that you're doing it right. Book of Methods by WestsideBarbell.com. They had the book to me within 24 hours. It was quick. You can't get these on Kindle. Louis probably 68 or 69 now, and he didn't play the Kindle game. So you're not going to find these on Kindle. You can get them used on Amazon, but they're usually more expensive than they are when they're new. The next book that I'm going to get is called Super Training by Medved, which has a lot to do with a lot of the same conjugate system, but not from Westside Barbell. Now, the bigger question is, if you are going to be sent home from work and you're out of shape, you're overweight, you're not that functional, you know it, if that's the case that you're in, look at the gift you've been given. You can start doing push-ups and sit-ups and pull-ups and lunges if you don't have weights. Next week, I'm going to talk about a home gym. I'm thinking this could be one of the better investments I've ever made for me personally. But if you don't have a home gym, you can start one very simply with very simple things. At Walmart, you can get those bands. You can do curls and tricep extensions and, you know, lateral raises, and you can sit around your back and you can do pushes and sit on it and do, you know, overhead presses. It's not going to be like using dumbbells, but if you're just starting anything, start where you're at. That's where I started, with those little bands from Walmart. Push-ups, sit-ups, stuff like that. If you're going to be home for 2 weeks, get pretty serious about this and just see how you feel after 2 weeks. If you actually put the work in, you're going to want to go to a gym when all this is over with, or you're going to want to have a home gym. Because you're not going to want to give that feeling up, because once you start feeling what it's like not to be so dysfunctional, it's almost like a thirst that you want to be more functional and more functional and more functional. As we get older, we're getting less functional. And we have a choice to make. We can become weak and feeble and less functional the way that the majority of people in this country do. Or you can be an outlier and be hyper-functional, hyper-strong, hyper-explosive up into your 70s. Go to Starting Strength on Instagram. You will see a dude that's 90 years old, deadlifting 405. That's freaking heavy. And he does it pretty easy. 90. And people think that you have to be weak and feeble when you're 90. I guarantee a 17-year-old kid don't want to grab a hold of that 90-year-old man. He'd break him in half. He probably has a life that most 90 years old can't even comprehend, because they live in a funk of being old and weak. There's 65 and 70-year-old women that are deadlifting 225. Let that sink in for a grandmother. Where her other friends are probably struggling to get a little Walmart bag out of a car, and she's ripping 225 off the ground. That's the person you want to be, not the person that struggles getting the Walmart bag out of the car. It's just a choice. Choice to be feeble and weak, or choice to be strong and vibrant. It's your choice. What's it going to be?